Hey everybody, welcome to this episode of the PGAJ Show. In today's episode, I want to talk about merchandising. I want to talk about how you can create some efficiencies. You can increase your level of service, your profits, as well as cut down potentially on the amount of stuff that you have to purchase and deal with and put on sale. And it really comes down to looking at your member base and who's spending what on what. And what they are actually making in profit for you. So a lot of times when you're running your reports, you'll look at, okay, what items are selling, what margins are they selling at, and let's some sort of combination of those two things is like, that's what we'll bring in for next year, or bring in more of this year. And I would really be curious to see if you started to break that stuff down by kind of looking at it from a membership spending point of view. So rather than kind of looking at the item itself, because you may sell, you know, $30,000 worth of a certain apparel and you may get a 30% margin on that, but you kind of realize that like, okay, that's, we're selling a lot of it. We're not maybe making as much margin as we do with these other things, but that makes sense because it's leading to, you know, this much profit for us at that margin. If you kind of flip that a little bit and you look at the members, so if you actually look at who your members are that are buying stuff in the golf shop, and not just who's spending the most, because I've pulled those reports before too, but if you actually look at what they're actually buying in a margin, there's kind of, a lot of times people fall into two categories. They either buy a lot at a low amount of money, and there's varying degrees of this, of course, but they'll either buy a lot and they'll buy it at a discount, so they're spending a lot, but they're not actually generating a lot of profit. Part of the argument there is, well, they're buying stuff on sale, they're helping me close stuff out. We'll get to that in a second. And then the other is, they maybe spend $1,000 a year, maybe $1,500 a year, but they're buying full price items. And if you look at your membership and you kind of break that down, you can start to get an idea of who your best kind of supporters of the club are, and then who's buying a lot, but at a very low margin. A lot of those members, some members are spending $10,000, but they're literally buying everything on closeout, and they're buying it like a negative margin. So you look at those people and you're like, okay, that $5,000 that person spent and cost us money, we don't need that $5,000 worth of merchandise in the golf shop. So what is that merchandise that they're buying at a discount? And let's not bring that stuff in, or not bring as much of it in. And on the flip side, you look at those maybe top 30 or 40 members that are spending a fair amount of money, that are buying certain items, then you start to look at, well, what if we could increase their spending by 20%, maybe just by focusing on them or creating a club for them or creating a special discount for them, whatever that is, to where you can kind of push those members that are kind of buying more and supporting you at a higher margin, that maybe are looking more for an experience when they're buying more outfits, they're buying stuff that's just come in. You kind of have a little bit of a chance to build a rapport then. I know I've bought stuff specifically for members, done an outfit for each colorway that comes in and a couple of things. So they liked loud colors. So we kind of put together an outfit in their size, and 70% of the time they would buy it full price. And sometimes they didn't, but he liked that experience. And we would even say like, hey, we just bought some stuff for you for next spring. We'd show him some pictures of it. And he'd be like, oh, I love that. And even sometimes we'd catch it in advance and be like, I don't love that one. And we would just, you know, we just met with the rep, so we would cancel that part of that outfit from the order, and we'd get him something else or whatever. So it really became an opportunity to tailor that experience, and being able to, if you could say, increase the top 30 members that spend and make you $500 each, and you could increase that profit by 20%. Now all of a sudden you've really had an impact on those margins and your bottom line profit. And at the same time, looking at the members that buy the stuff on closeout and just not bringing that stuff in. And you'll find when you really look at it, how much time you're spending to bring things in, meeting with the reps, doing all that stuff, repricing it, putting it on sale, counting it in inventory is another big thing. All of that time that you spend, if you're not making more than 20 or 30% margin on something, on a $30 shirt, if you're not making $10 or more on that item, it's probably costing you $10 through the time that you get it, through it finally being sold on sale. It's probably costing you that in operational expenses just to have that item in the shop, to carry that item in the shop. So flipping it a little bit and just looking at the members what they're spending, I think can just be a really eye-opening experience. Who are my top members that are spending, creating the most margin for us? Who are the ones that are not? Who are the ones that are spending the most at the lowest margin? And just looking at that a little bit differently and breaking them up of who's buying what items, you can really start to say, well, everybody's buying this stuff at a discounted price. That makes sense because maybe that's a brand that's in the local warehouse discount store down the street, or that's on Amazon, or it's on one of these discount shops. That's a commodity that everybody's kind of shopping for. But the experience of buying an outfit, buying something new for the winter season that they like, that's on full price, that is a differentiator that you can kind of create in that level of service with those members. It's going to be hard to do both. So looking at your merchandising operation, not so much in which merchandise appeals to which one. Well, you do that, but you look at it first from the member's perspective. What's appealing to this member? What's appealing to this other member? And looking at what they're each bringing in, and then just adjusting your buying strategy according to that. So I think that's a great way to start looking at merchandise, especially with, again, the commoditization of everything with Amazon and discount stores and all that. More and more your profits are going to be coming from the people that are looking for the experience of buying something from the club, are willing to pay full price for it, but expect a level of service, a level of individualism, and all of that. You can spend a little bit more time with somebody to buy something if they're paying full price for it, especially if you're going to be spending time on top of that helping somebody buy something at a discount. There's really just kind of not as much point to that. So let me know how that goes. Let me know what you find out, if you start to look into those numbers, how you might say, oh my gosh, this member we thought was a really great member and they're just buying stuff on sale, which is fine. It's not their fault. But maybe you should never have that stuff in there in the first place. And they may complain like, hey, you never have stuff on sale anymore. It's like, well, you never buy anything on full price anyway. So why would we do that? Why would we bring stuff in to lose money on? This is a bad business decision when you can go down the street and get it. So hope you like that one. You guys have asked for more merchandise stuff, so we'll try and continue that. You can always email me, jay@pgaj.com. Don't forget to follow the website you can check out too, PGAJAY. Lots of tutorials, put the vlogs up, trying to make that more of a central hub. So also don't forget to share this podcast with anybody that you know in the golf business that could benefit from it. I really appreciate it. It's been fun to watch the growth of the podcast stay pretty steady despite my not posting as much lately. So hopefully I can keep up my end of the bargain as well as you guys continue to share. So thanks so much, and I'll talk to you soon.